The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
All right, welcome to the River, those watching our broadcast, and we're glad that all of you are here, and we're going to get in the Word tonight with our Bible study. And we have much to be in prayer for. We just went through some prayer time of prayer requests and praise reports, and I'm sure that there's some people watching us that are in need of prayer tonight. And let me tell you that we're praying for you. If you need you need help, you can make comments on the broadcast tonight. We know that there's some people sick tonight that couldn't be here. And if you're watching me, just know that we are in prayer for you. We're in prayer for the people that are giving to this ministry and to helping, and those that are going through troubles right now. And just know that you have someone in your corner to pray for you. Amen, church?
Amen.
And because there's a lot of need right now. There's a lot of people hurting. We got people make decisions. We got people sick. We got people fighting, going through stuff. And but as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can pray and we can believe God and trust in God. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Amen? So Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We just ask you to bless this time. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. We just know that you shine a light onto our path so we know which way to go, and that you give wisdom, Lord, that if we would ask and receive, that you would impart that to us, Lord. We have many people that are sick tonight, Lord. We just speak healing. We pray for healing, that you would heal them at the top of their head, to the bottom of their feet. And Lord, we just ask you to bless this word today. Bless those that couldn't be here. We ask you to bless those that help in this ministry, that are supporters, that provide a kind word or help financially or help with cleaning or mowing and children's church and ministry and music and all the things that go on in this church. And we just thank you for them, Lord. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to keep our pastors safe and safe travels and being able to be refreshed and encouraged this day. And it's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So God bless you for watching. I hope by now that some of you have joined us online, because we're got a great word tonight of teaching. And it's interesting, the times we're living in, of how it continues to show the Bible is true, how it continues that we must apply the Word of God to our lives. And you can have all the knowledge of the Bible. You can go to 4, 8, 10 years of college, and if you decide to put this Bible on a shelf and don't have any prayer time and don't have any study time, you're going to go backwards and you're going to find yourself stagnant. And I talked a bit on Sunday about that this Bible does you no good if you don't open it and apply it. And tonight, I'll tell you, we're in a season of applying the Word of God. And I hope that that's what you get in tonight's teaching, is the difference that the Word of God can make in you and I's life when we apply it. Amen? And so let's go back into Psalm 34. That's where we're at on Sunday. Psalm 34, and we're going to start out on verse 8. So if you have your Bibles, you're watching. We don't have it on the big screen tonight. We got our Bibles out. This is Bible study night, so we have our Bibles, and we're ready to go, looking at the Word of God and applying it to our lives. Because the Word of God is true, right?
Amen.
There's a lot of people that will tell you things to make you think something is true, and when you really need to do is get back to the Word of God and apply that to your life. Put your name in here. I'm not one of those prosperity preachers that tells you that everything turns out perfect, but I can tell you that things can get better when you put your hands and your life and your trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? So in Psalm 34:8, it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Amen. Are you blessed tonight?
Amen.
Amen? Now, even though you're going through a rough week, are you still blessed?
Amen.
Even though you go through trials?
Yep. Amen.
Even though it cost $80 to fill up your vehicle?
Amen.
You're still blessed.
Amen.
Because you've made your life in alignment to the Word of God, that you say, I trust in Him. Who's Him? God. Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who do you trust? Who do you put your trust in today? Do you put it in the world? You're going to find yourself in lack. You put your trust in your company? You put your trust in your business? Do you put your trust in man? You'll find yourself in lack somewhere along the line. But the Bible says that blessed is the man, that we can put mankind there. I won't leave you ladies out. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And that's the message for tonight. All the time, you and I, believers, are trying to help those take another step closer to Jesus Christ. To take a step closer in prayer. To take a step closer in the Word of God. To take a step closer to the church. To take a step closer to your brothers and sisters. If you're not working tonight, you ought to be in this house. And if you're sick, we ought to be praying for you. Amen? Now, there's those on vacation. I got it. That's part of it. But I want to encourage those on our broadcast and all your family and friends that you have interactions with to help them taste and see how good God is. Because I lived half my life not understanding the goodness of God and how He cares for us, even when we weren't lovable, when we were porcupines. Because I don't know about you, but my early days, I didn't seek after God. Did you? No. But I found out that once I put my trust in Him, see, being born again and saved, we've realized that it's more than just, I believe in God, right? It's trusting in Him. I can believe you're here, but when I say that I trust in you, brother, I know you got my back. There's a difference, you see. People like to make it, well, I believe in God, okay, but do you trust Him with your finances? Do you trust Him with your life? Do you trust Him in what decisions you're going to make? Because that's really where the rubber hits the road, right? That's that application of the Word of God. More than just this head knowledge, it becomes a heartfelt compassion of trust. Amen? And verse 9 says, O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. So, in other words, there's no want to those who respect Him, that honor Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. There's two major verses for you to apply to your life. No want to those who fear Him, and those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now, I may not have it at the time I want it. Right? That's where the problem comes, doesn't it? We have that microwave mentality that says, I gave my heart to Jesus, everything's going to turn, boom, everything's good. Well, sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And that's a false teaching that's went through this community where people try to lead people to Christ, tell them about the blessings and the goodness of God, things that are available, and yet they don't have a balanced message that says, listen, you're born again now, you're saved from eternal condemnation, you're saved. You're going to heaven, but you're still going to go through some trials.
That's right.
And people love to paint this picture that if I get saved and then I get baptized, my life will all be perfect. All my family members will love me. I'll get my job back, my boyfriend back. Everything will be good. My bank account will all be good. I'll get my new car. Oh, I did this and that didn't happen right away. And then what happens? Exit stage left. And you have to endure to the end, the Bible says. Right?
Amen.
This is a race of endurance, not a sprint that goes, well, I'll give God everything I have for a week, and then if I don't get what I want, then I'm going to back up. Doesn't work that way. It's an endurance of enduring, of trust in Him all the way through the finish line. Amen? Come on, somebody. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. And we live in a society that has trouble with this. We have people that aren't teachable, for one. And two, that don't want to hear the fear of the Lord. They just want to hear about all the goodies and the benefits. God is love. Yes, that is one of His characters, His attributes, yes. But He's also a just God. Amen? He's a jealous God. Amen? You've got to put the whole picture together. You can't just take one piece of this Bible and say, well, that's I'm going to make my whole doctrine on one verse, and I can do whatever I want to do. Amen? Take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus. No one wants to hear that today, do they? Right? So, who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? And the Bible says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Well, a lot of people like to do good but don't want to depart from the evil. There always has to be something in a believer's life that says, come out and be separate. I could not continue going to the bar and drinking and live a life righteous before God. If I try to do both things, that's called self-righteousness. I'm teaching better. I'm getting some amens, right? Because we see today how people like to do both sides of the fence and call themselves born-again Christians, living a self-righteous, and self-righteousness stinks, right? You have to live a life of coming out and be separate. I get it. It takes time, right? Depart from evil. Depart from the junk on TV. Depart from the bad company that corrupts good morals, right? I didn't want to leave some of my friends when I got saved, but I knew I could not continue to hang around the atmosphere that they were sucking me into. I care about them. I prayed for them, but I knew I could no longer go to the bar. I had to come out and be separate. I could no longer watch the things that I watched. I had to control this tongue, right? Still today, right? It's an unruly critter, right? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. But look at verse 19. This is where we're jumping off for tonight. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions. So this false doctrine that you may hear of everything's a bag of chips, and once you get saved, you get your car back, you get this back, everything works out good, peaches and ice cream, we got pizza every Friday night, bills are always on time, ready to go, no problems, never go through any persecution. Hello? Oh, you get saved, you're never going to have to go through anything ever again. Man, talk about a lie from the pit of hell. You're going to go through afflictions. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. So in other words, those that have become in right standing with God. How do you get right standing with God? You realize that you're a sinner, that you've fallen short, you missed the mark. You repent and you turn so that time of refreshing may come. Right? Amen. That's how you become righteous. You're not going to ask for forgiveness until you realize that you've done something that displeased God. Right? I kept drinking until God convicted me, saying that no more. Right? So there had to be something that convicted me that said, I need to come out and be separate from that. Yeah. Now that is a journey in itself that each one of us may have to go through. These three things, say, you know what? I need to back away from that. That's not healthy for me. But the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So for someone to promise you that once you give your heart to Jesus and you get baptized, everything's going to work out, everything's going to be perfect. They are deceiving you to have you believe something that's not scriptural. You can count on the blessings of God, yes. His promises are yes and amen. But it may take some time to get things lined up from 30, 40, 50 years of bad decisions and being in the junk. Right? He's not genie in a bottle. Right?
Amen.
So these afflictions for the righteous, how many of you have ever been persecuted for your faith? Yeah? Well, praise God, because there's enough evidence that someone's seen that you are who you really say you are. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been persecuted. If they didn't believe, see, that's kind of an interesting concept, isn't it? If you're persecuted, then someone sees something in you that's different, and that's a good thing. How about, have you ever been mocked? Yeah? Oftentimes I see people mocking because they're coveting what you have. It's either, a lot of times I'll see it as a coarse jesting, where people have a really warped sense of humor, and they're trying to be funny, but they're really mocking you at the same time. I've seen afflictions of people that are persecuting because they say, you've heard me say, Bible thumper. You're just a Bible thumper now. You just think you're everything in a bag of chips now, don't you? You think you're a holy roller. Well, really what they're doing is they're mocking you and they're persecuting you because you've made a decision for Jesus Christ and you feel good about it. And they have what you have, but they won't do what you had to do to get where you are at today.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? Right? People love the easy button. I like the easy button. But I know it took time and sowing seed. You plant a seed, it doesn't just come up right away. Sometimes you got to water and it takes time. How many of you went through afflictions trying to do something good? Right? Wasn't even your fault. But you got thrown in the salad bowl. And now you're a bad guy because someone else is messing around and fooling around. And because you have a title, now you're all of a sudden a bad guy.
Yep.
Happened in this community, I think. So go with me into Acts chapter 16. We're heading there tonight because We've been talking about and studying about how do you encourage yourself. Well, how do you encourage yourself when you're being mocked? How do you encourage yourself when you know in your heart that you're leading your family in the way they should go and you're teaching those in the way they should go so that when they're old, they're not depart from you? How do you encourage yourself when you're going through a bunch of stuff at work? How do you encourage yourself when you're going through financial trouble? How do you encourage yourself when you're going through marital problems? How do you encourage yourself when you're going through afflictions? Because, believer, you're going to go through afflictions, and we must know how to encourage ourselves and teach one another how to get through them.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
I don't have all the answers, but I'm going to give you one example, and the key is not a head knowledge. It's whether or not you will apply it to your life. How's that? So it's not on me, I'm going to release it, and now it's going to be on you that the Lord would use this to help you get through your afflictions because you're going to go through them.
That's right.
It's not always going to be peaches and cream. The devil doesn't like you. And if you're a new convert, he's going to do everything he can to get you to go back into your old ways.
Amen.
You're seeing it. You're seeing people that have wanted to have a heart change for God, and they're under attack and persecution. And people are trying to say, well, that's just a fad, that's just something. No, you need to come out and be separate from those people and get yourself around pure believers and true believers. Amen?
Amen.
People that will encourage you and lift you up. So in Acts chapter 16, we talk about Paul and Silas, and it's in 16:16. And the reason for going here is because sometimes we get into messes that has nothing to do with us. It's not our fault. we're mocked, we're persecuted, we're put down, all because of we're trying to tell people that there's a more excellent way. Anybody here? If you're a believer and you're telling people that there's a more excellent way, and you're who you say you are, and there's enough evidence to prove that you're a Christian,
amen,
you're going to go through things.
That's right.
So in Acts chapter 16:16, the Bible says, as I'll begin reading, "Now it happened as we went," now "we" is Paul and Silas, "as we went to prayer," as we went to prayer. You're going through affliction? Hint number one, you must get back to prayer.
Amen.
If you're not going to set time for prayer, I'm going to have trouble helping you. Because prayer is your direct line. I've been trying to teach, pray in the Spirit. Pray, 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 pray. Number one, going through afflictions. Will you apply it? Will you take time in the morning, at lunch, in the evening, before you go to bed, to pray? Because oftentimes we have good intentions to pray and then we get distracted. Phone call, work. Time to go to work, lunch hour, time to go to bed, tired. But the Bible talks about going and getting in your secret place with God and hearing from the Lord. Amen? He says, "As we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by a fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.'" Huh, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? "And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her,' and he came out that very hour." Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So, this may have started out to be a compliment, but something went wrong. Ever happened to you?
Yep.
People are trying to do a compliment, and then things get in there, and we start doing some blending, and all of a sudden it turns into mocking, because I don't know about you, but it sounds kind of good to me that says, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, El Shaddai. They're servants of El Shaddai." Yeah, praise the Lord. But there must have been something about how she said it. There must be something about how we're talking about Jesus. There's a way to talking about Jesus. You can talk about Jesus and encourage people. You can talk about Jesus and manipulate people. You can talk about Jesus and actually put people down and crush them. And Paul identifies that this was not a compliment. He was annoyed, right? Something in his spirit identified that there was a spirit in her. You know, the devil likes to do that. He likes to quote Scripture, right? The devil knows Scripture, and he can twist it. Amen? So it's possible that you can have truth spoken but manipulated that turns into evil. Isn't that something? How does that happen? It depends on the vessel. If you're taking stuff in that's not good and you're taking stuff that is good and you get a blending in there, you can have a half-truth. Or you can have the truth spoken in a way that now hurts and mocks. Because that's basically what she's doing, is she's mocking these guys and saying, "These are servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed us the way." Isn't that what we're doing? We're trying to tell people the way of salvation. And some taste and see, and it's great. And others taste it and they're like, I don't like that. The message was an hour. I don't like that. I only want a 20-minute message. I can only handle so much. Happens. These pastors, they teach the way of salvation, the truth, even when it hurts. That says you must be born again. But people don't like hearing that. I just want to have it my way. Amen? And here this woman has a spirit in her. It's a spirit of a python. The spirit of divination. She spoke the truth, but said it mocking. Let me tell you, that doesn't encourage anybody. And Paul got a hold of this and he said, that's enough. What was greater in him? He spoke against that spirit and it had to come out. Amen? Amen. That mocking, nasty, coarse jesting, twisting of the truth, do you see it in churches today? They twist the truth so that the tickling ears may be satisfied. But we have a responsibility as ministers of the Word of God to proclaim the way of salvation. Amen. And to do it biblically.
Yes.
Whether people like it or not, tell them whether they hear or they don't, but we're called to be ministers of those telling people the way of salvation. You must be born again.
Amen?
Amen? You must repent and turn, and people don't like hearing that. And they can call me a Bible thumper, but I want them saved, truly saved, so that they're face to face with God. He doesn't say, depart from me, I never knew you. But he turned to the Spirit. He says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, that name above every name. Amen? To come out. Maybe it's time we need to start telling that. Come out in Jesus' name. Instead of dealing with some of these evil spirits, instead of dealing with this mocking spirit where they're trying to compliment and they're not, come out in Jesus' name. Use and apply the authority that God has given you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So in other words, there's authority as you speak.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Here we go. So here we are. Prayer, speaking with authority. You've got to know who you are in Jesus Christ. To Paul, this was an annoying spirit. It was an affliction. So you have things that these annoying spirits, you need to take authority in Jesus' name. Right? But when her master saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. You know, I'm sure that we trouble some people in our city. Let it be a good trouble.
Amen.
Amen? Sometimes you need to get that evil spirit out and put the Holy Spirit in.
Yes, amen.
Get that lying tongue out. Get that Jezebel spirit out. Why we keep I don't understand why, knowing what we know, why do we continue to tolerate the spirit of Jezebel? Time for it to go. It's a controlling spirit. It speaks half-truths. It gets in with a truth and manipulates it to turn against you.
Amen.
Only long enough to get what it wants. It loves you. Then, oh, I'm going to pull the big switcheroo on you, oh man of God. It's got to go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's a controlling spirit. Amen? These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. All because they're trying to tell people the way of salvation. Boy, they're just awful men, aren't they? Trying to help people get saved. trying to help people get free, trying to help people have joy, people trying to help people have purpose, trying to help people find their calling. But yet, there's enough evidence of what they're doing that they become persecuted for their faith and what they're doing. I'd say they were doing it right. So if you're persecuted, you're going through afflictions, to me, that just tells me that you're doing it right. A different way of thinking about it, isn't it? Because the righteous will go through afflictions. When you preach the way of salvation, you're going to come under attack. And you got to be ready for it. The moment that you get saved and you start telling somebody about your testimony, you're ultimately trying to lead them in the way of salvation. Guess what? You now have a bullseye on your back. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Doesn't the Bible say that? So guess what? You've instantly made sides with God being righteous as opposed to being on the devil's team. He don't like that. Hello? They rose up, tore off their clothes, and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. You know, every time I read this, it always pops up in my spirit. Is there enough evidence to get a conviction in your life for being a Christian? Right? Have you ever heard that before? Obviously, these men were who they said they were because they were coming under attack, trying to do the right thing, mocked, persecuted, beaten. How many of you think that's going through a rough day? Any of you beaten today? Anybody had their clothes tore off today for sharing the gospel? I'd say these men went through some afflictions. But the Bible says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. They're going to give us a great example if we can apply this today. These verses give you and I an example of when we go through hard times. Does it really matter what hard time it is? Does it really matter? Right. Because each one of us go through afflictions. Right. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
We all go through afflictions. So each one of us may go through things, and we're going to have to ask ourselves, how are we going to go through them, or are we going to sit in the mud and wallow in them? Right? So the key is not the knowledge so much as it is the application that says, when you go through afflictions, and you are, not if, what do you do when you're in the affliction? And these two are going to show us they weren't doing anything wrong. They were just trying to tell people the way of salvation. And yet here they come, beaten, had their clothes taken off of them, tore, mocked. And now we're going to see, having received in verse 24, received such a charge, so there was proof positive that these two were Christians. There was proof positive that these two were who they said they were. He put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So now, all for preaching the way, they're put into jail. Talk about a rough day. I thought it was rough at work today. That really wasn't much. When you hear about these two that were pulled into the salad bowl for doing a good thing, but yet beaten and torn, allow this evil spirit of divination to have this, but yet God has a plan. You're going to see in these scriptures the application of what these two did to get them through the affliction, not to dwell and sit in it and go, oh, it's me. There's a key that as a church and as a believer, that those who would listen to me tonight would apply this because it's so important, because how you get through your affliction determines the success you have after it. And it sometimes your greatest battle is right before your greatest victory. So what happens if your affliction right now is preventing you from helping someone get saved tomorrow? Is it worth it? Or do you want to wallow in it, not thinking about that something's trying to prevent you from reaching that person that they'd be spending eternity with you in heaven? You see, our decisions today can affect the lives of others, and the filling of this church, the filling of heaven, the filling of your of the filling station, the way you see your affliction, if it is how high is the water rising and not how high is my God, you will sit and you will stay stagnant and preventing you from the success that's coming tomorrow. Hello? Amen? So let's look at these scriptures and let me put the pieces together because this is all application. And if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then I can apply these verses to my own life and work on that I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Amen? I'm going to count it all joy as I go through various trials. And until you've worked on this, it will not be a joy to you as you're going through the trials, until you get a revelation of what God has for you, what's next on God's assignment list, and who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Point number three. How do you get through your affliction? Prayer and singing. Prayer and praise. They're singing to God in prison after they've been beat, their clothes tore, mocked, cuffed and stuffed. And they are sitting there at midnight of all nights, singing and praying, and the prisoners were listening to it. In other words, it wasn't quiet. It was enough that everybody else could hear them praising and praying. Sometimes the affliction you're in may be something you need to get pressed through that others will hear and be a witness to you that you made it through. If God will bring you through it, then He'll bring me through it and encourages us and exhorts one another and edifies one another. It says, listen, if God is going to help them through their mess, I have faith now that He'll get it through my mess.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But how many times do we get how high is the water rising? Pressure's on, pressure's on. And the Bible says in Colossians to have your eyes on heavenly things. Put your minds on the high things. Right? Lift your head up, for where does your help come from, church? So when you're going through afflictions, how do you encourage yourself? But you have to remind yourself. Like David, you have to find yourself when you're going through these things. Yes, you got brothers and sisters. I got it. But none of you are with me at midnight. There's a point in time when it's you and God.
Amen.
And you can wallow in it, or you can lock it in four-wheel drive and say, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you through this. I'm going to enter His courts with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. And even though I'm going through affliction, I'm going to praise through it and let whoever will see it.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to remind yourself of this. Even when your dog tired at midnight. Even when you've been beat up all day.
Amen.
Even when your spiritual garment has been thrown for a loop and they've been beating on you. You know what I'm talking about? Your spiritual covering has taken a hit. Oh, come on. Those moments when your afflictions are so high that you start doubting who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes, that's right.
Now that's a big affliction.
Amen.
When you start doubting your calling, you start doubting who you are, you start doubting the things that God has told you, that's a major affliction, and that's when you must be in much prayer and much praise, even when you don't feel like it.
Amen.
Amen. The prisoners were listening to them. So in other words, Paul and Silas, as they went through afflictions, were being used to help others learn how to get out of their afflictions. Did you ever think about that? That you, the trials you go through that none of us want to go through, God might be using to help you grow in your prayer time and your worship so that you can get through this situation and help someone else get through their situation? Wow, what a concept. You mean you're going through a hard time only so that others can see you bounce through it and God's hand on your life, and then somebody's going to remember that oh, God did that for you? Yeah. When He brought the family together? Yeah. He can do it for you. When God's hand's on you and you're healed of those addictions? Yeah. Yeah, God can do it for you. When God heals your marriage, yep, God can do it for you. When you receive financial breakthrough and you remember that you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and the devil's trying to keep you from talking about how good God is,
amen.
It might just be that the devil's got your tongue that you need to say, come out and spread that gospel so that someone may hear that God's still doing something.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In verse 26, the Bible says, suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. The very foundation of the place that they were praying was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed because of two men willing to take time and pray through their problem. If God can do that then, can't He open up the windows of heaven for you? Can't He heal the sick? Can't He break the chains? Can't He get the addictions off you? Can't He help you walk again? Can't He help you talk again? Can't He help you run again? Can't He help you lift up a shout unto God again? Absolutely He can.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everyone's chains were loosed. In other words, all the things, these two went through affliction, all the things that was binding them were now loosed and was up to them. Would they then begin to shout and praise the Lord? Some of us don't realize that the chains are gone. It's now up to you to praise the Lord. You're born again. You're saved. Guess what? Your chains are off. While the devil had you, you wonder why you had problems, but you're born again. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have a heart change. The only thing that's hindering you is you. Is that too tough? Right? This flesh does not want to praise God. And it worries about everyone around us when we praise God. But on this Sunday morning, I believe there's going to be some people that are going to get out of their shell because they are going to realize that they're no longer bound. You've been bought. You're no longer bound by the chains. Hallelujah. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prisoners' doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he knew that it wasn't looking good for him and the pressure was getting to him. But Paul realizes that same pressure. He recognized that spirit that wants to kill your anointing. That spirit that wants to kill and shorten the very things that God wants to do in your life. And Paul said, whoa, 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 whoa. Do yourself no harm. That spirit can't live here. Do yourself no harm. Come out. Only an evil spirit would want to take you out. You got to recognize the spirits. Oftentimes, we are great at identifying everybody else's spirit except for the ones that are attacking us. That's a word. You got to recognize that there's a spirit that's trying to harm to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. He said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought to them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh, what a question. What must I do to be saved? Wouldn't it be great if people just started coming up to you? They see something in you, and they're not mocking for a change. They're not persecuting anymore. They're not following what everybody else says. And they simply get real and go, "You know what? I see something different in you. I thought you were a fake. I thought you were phoning. I thought it was just for a time. But I really see something different in you. What do I got to do to get that?" Oh, hallelujah. I'm waiting for people to get past the spirits and the demons in their life, come to Christ, come to us and ask, "What must I do to be blessed?" Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have joy? What must I do to get through this affliction? Ah, we can help. So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, there's a whole teaching here on the difference between believe on and believe in. Many people believe in the Lord, but they don't want to trust. Believe on is to trust, confide in, have confidence, have a prayer life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household. Can you save your household? You have an influence on your household. You determine the path of your household.
That's right.
We're going to church today. You coming? Yes or no? Choose. You coming? Sunday morning, you coming? Yes or no?
Yes.
Hallelujah. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Maybe that needs to be what we start telling people. You come to church? Yes, no. Well, no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else comes from who? Mm-hmm. Choose. Yes or no? You want Christ or you don't want Christ? We'll run out of time.
That's right.
You want to be blessed? Choose.
Yes, amen.
I've already told you you're going to go through affliction, so you might as well get in the house of the Lord and be blessed.
Amen.
Have joy again. Amen? Right?
Hallelujah.
Like, "Oh, that's too tough. You're preaching too hard." No, it's like, come on. You want what others have, you're going to have to do what others did to get where they're at.
That's right.
And Paul and Silas had to go through afflictions, and Luke was right on the other side. They were leading others to Christ because they stayed true to what they were trying to do in the first place.
Amen.
But if you allow this spirit of Python, if you allow this other spirit that harms you and keeps you from doing what you got to do, then you're going to miss out on what God has for you right around the corner. Right after the affliction, Paul and Silas are leading the jailer to Christ. How awesome is that? But they could have stayed in their affliction. They could have said, "I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore." But no, they pressed on. They pressed through the affliction. And here they're getting an opportunity. The greatest opportunity you and I can have is when someone says, "What do I got to do to be saved?"
Amen.
There's no better question I can think of as somebody to ask me that. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. Because, you know, remember, they took a beating. They took a beating for the gospel. And some of you have been taking a beating for the gospel. And it's time for God to heal those wounds and restore you and refresh you and get back on track.
Amen.
The afflictions have been high. The spiritual attacks have been high. The mocking's been high. But the Lord's doing a refreshing right now. An encouragement right now. It says, listen, you have done nothing wrong. And you've been thrown in the salad bowl. All because you're preaching Jesus, the way of salvation. You're going to come under attack, and the spirits are going to come, but watch. Stay true to what God's called you to do. Because right around the corner, Paul and Silas are given an opportunity to change someone's life forever. This jailer and his family will see eternal salvation. They will live forever because some men didn't give up. Don't give up, church. Don't grow weary in doing good. You believers watching me tonight, don't grow weary in doing good. Continue to speak the way of salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Now when he had brought them into the house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Won't you taste and see? Here they stayed true, and the jailer is now feeding them physical food, while these two gave them spiritual food because they went through the afflictions. In our kingdom dynamics, it says, praise springs open prison doors. It's the pathway that I'm talking about. All of Sunday, all of tonight, it's creating a path of praise and prayer to watch God open doors in your lives. Because you're going to go through afflictions no matter what you do.
Right.
It's how you get through them. What do you do to encourage yourself? Study this example of the power of praise, even in difficult circumstances. Come on, church. Beaten and imprisoned, Paul and Silas respond by singing a hymn of praise, a song sung directly from the heart to God. The relationship between their song and praise and their supernatural deliverance through the earthquake cannot be overlooked. Hello? Praise directed toward God can shake open prison doors.
Hallelujah.
If it happened then, it can happen now.
Amen.
Praise directed towards God, not towards man. Thank you. Praise God. Thank men. Praise God. I will bless the Lord at all times. A man was converted, his household saved, and satanic captivity overthrown in Philippi. Hello? Major accomplishment because two men didn't give up. Today as well, praise will cause every chain of bondage to drop away. When you are serving God and things do not go the way you planned. Hello? Come on, somebody. When you're serving God and they're not going how you planned, hear me on this. Learn from this text. Praise triumphs gloriously.
Amen.
Learn from this. Prayer and praise opens doors and helps you go through. How do you encourage yourself? Apply this tonight. Replay it until you get it. Because you and I will go through afflictions and we're going to forget this. We're going to forget Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to some believers that get a hold of this week. Sunday morning, you're ready to praise your way to victory. Amen?
Amen.
We're ready to praise your way to victory in Jesus' name. And come back with an expectation in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you soon here at the river. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the river, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.